All right, and a good evening, and let's turn to the book of Proverbs tonight for our text. Proverbs chapter 3. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, and our hearts go out to those that would like to be here that cannot be here for some reason or other. We're members of a family, and when one is sick, we all feel it, don't we?
Amen.
And our prayers do go out to Wayne and Ruth. And you know, I thank the Lord for her sister that came down here, and Peggy's in there helping Wayne. Peggy's 87. She's not able to do too much like lifting or rolling or anything like that with Ruth, but Wayne's there to do that. But Peggy has been a nurse, and she knows what she's doing and everything. It's good. And another, but I told her the other day when I was there, I said, I can identify with you because, well, you know, I was there with my brother Charles when he went, and she's there with her sister, and that's something that'll just tears the heart out of you, it seems like. Only God can give us consolation and peace in times like that, isn't it? Because you know what's happening to her will happen sooner or later to all of us. There'll come a time when you and I too will be in that condition. And how wonderful it is to have the faith and the assurance to know that when that time comes, that to be absent from the body will be present with the Lord. I do not understand how a person can live in this world without faith in Jesus Christ. I don't understand that. And you know, we spoke this morning about the Lord, and tonight we're going to talk some more about Him, how that after we're saved, when the Holy Spirit of assurance comes into our hearts and God is with us and we know where Jesus is and He makes intercession with the Father for us and the Holy Spirit is here in us and He makes intercession for us and we have God on our side all the way around. And I want to speak tonight about God's guidance. He doesn't leave us alone here to find our own way. But He leads and He guides. And sometimes we may not give Him credit for that. But listen, God causes all things to work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now listen, as we look into Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, you may have heard a sermon preached from this. I've talked to these preachers here in the congregation. It's what we call the Knotty Sermon, K-N-O-T-T-Y, because you have forget not in verse 1, let not in verse 3, lean not in verse 5, be not in verse 7, despise not verse 11. You see, that there's your points right there. These are certainly some good advice and good instructions. But our text is in verse 6, which says, he shall direct thy paths. God's guidance. Before I get too far into this, I want you to go to Isaiah with me for a moment. Isaiah chapter 58. Beginning in verse 8 of Isaiah 58. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy re-reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vainly, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That means all the time, doesn't it? And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old places, old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Isaiah says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Solomon said, he shall direct thy paths. And if you remember the words of Jesus over in John chapter 16, he said in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is not only our comforter, but he's also our guide to show us the direction that we should go. I want us to look at three ways that God guides the believer. Three ways that God guides the believer. The first one is in Psalm 32, verse 8. And in Psalm 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee, how? With mine eye. I will guide thee with mine eye. And then he says, be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Hey, I'm a country boy. I've been up and down those roads behind the mule. I know what it's about. You put the bridle on, you got a bit in his mouth, and you pull on the right rein to get him to go to the right, and you pull on the left rein to get him to go to the left, and you pull both of them back like this if you want him to stop. And what's God saying here? He said, don't be like that mule. That's right. God said, I will guide you with mine eye. You know, that's the reason we have Sunday school, the reason why we have Bible study. Because those who seek guidance and instruction from the Word of God attend faithfully to find out which way we should go and how we should live our lives in this old sinful, corrupt world. Those people who have no pleasure in God's Word, those who have no concern for God's ways, those who have no desire for His will, those who have no interest in the things of God are conspicuously absent from the house of the Lord as His word is preached and taught. Unless, of course, they're providentially hindered, we take that into consideration. But God guides us with His eye. His eyes are always on us. He sees everything. And His eyes are eyes of compassion. They care. I think of Simon Peter. I was reading about him again. They're in the upper room, and Jesus says to Judas Iscariot, you're going to betray me. And he says, he went out and took his 30 pieces of silver and did it. And then he turned to Simon Peter and he said, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? He says, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat is sifted. And Peter, speaking from his heart, said, Lord, I will never forsake you. In fact, Lord, I will die for you. I'm willing to give my life. Then they went out to the garden. And while Jesus was praying, Peter went to sleep, took a little nap. And first thing you know, here comes a group of men being led by Judas Iscariot. Now Judas went up to him and identified him with that kiss. And those men that were with Judas laid their hands on Jesus and here's Peter. Peter proved the sincerity of his words because he drew a sword and he swung it and he cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And Jesus, who was being taken into custody at that time, paused long enough to tell Peter to put away his sword. And he reached down and healed Malchus's ear. Amazing. Now, Peter don't know what to do. He's filled with mixed emotions. As they lead Jesus away, he wanted to know what was going to happen to him. He wanted to be near him so that he could come to his rescue and deliver him from his captors if he had that opportunity. So he followed Jesus afar off. He mixed in with the crowd of people that thronged the patio of the high priest's house. And in his desire to stay in sight of Jesus and view what was happening to his Lord, he tried to blend in with the others that were there in that big crowd. But people kept recognizing him. And that caused Peter to deny three times that he knew who Jesus was. Now, I don't think he did that because he had forsaken Jesus. He did that because he didn't want to get kicked out. But Jesus had foretold that before the night was over, Peter would deny him three times. And it happened just as Jesus said. And Jesus, picture this, he's now standing in the presence of the high priest to answer his accusers. And Peter is way back here in the crowd somewhere. And the sensitive ears of Jesus picked up Peter's voice from way back yonder in the crowd when he denied him. And he heard what Peter said. And in spite of the gravity of the situation that Jesus was in, standing here before the high priest, his judge, when he should be giving him his full attention to what was going on and what the high priest was saying, because his destiny was being determined here at that ecclesiastical trial. But the Bible says that when Peter denied him, that Jesus turned and looked upon Simon Peter. He was distracted from his trial by the denial of Peter yonder in the crowd. I believe that when Jesus looked upon Peter, it was a look of compassion as well as a look of reproof. I believe that when their eyes met, that Peter felt disappointment and hurt. And he saw that in the eyes of Jesus, as if Jesus was saying to him, Peter, I warned you that this was going to happen. And the eyes of the Lord guided Peter to repentance. He went out and wept bitterly. The eyes of the Lord will guide you if you'll allow them to. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, He will direct our path. And He will show us the way that we're to go. And that's when we hear that still, small voice that says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. But if we're immune to the looks of God, if we can't read in God's eyes His divine instructions, if we're unreceptive to what God is doing, we're not going to be benefited by it. We'll never become the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. My mind goes back to my childhood days. I was probably 13 or 14. We went to church all the time, and I had to sit with my dad and mama. There were other boys. I went to school with them, you know, during the week. But on Sundays, I couldn't sit with them. I sat with my dad and mother. But, you know, after a while, well, by the way, that's the way we were trained in church. Yeah, we were trained to behave. But when I got, 13 or 14, something like that, my daddy started loosening the reins a little, and he would allow me to sit with these other boys back there on the pew, kids my age. But sometimes when the sermon got boring, I became a child again. And I started acting like a kid. But you know, when I was misbehaving, without even looking, I could feel my daddy's eyes on me. And when I would turn and our eyes would meet, he spoke to me with his eyes. And you know what he said? Just wait till I get you home. I'm talking about guiding with the eye. God guides us the same way with his eyes. Now, let's move on. In Psalm 73, verses 24 and 25, we find another guidance system that God uses. And that scripture says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Isn't that beautiful? "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." Now, what is the counsel of God? You're holding it in your hand. It's your Bible. That's it. If you want to know what God thinks about something, read your Bible. It's right there. We need to know what God thinks about things so that we can think the same way. We don't have to read books to find out what men think or what society thinks. We read our Bible to find out what God thinks. And if we don't get our doctrines from the Word of God, we're never going to be able to live the Christian life that God intends us to live. Now, all across the country today, people are arguing about the Bible. But I want to tell you what we need to do with the Bible. You don't need to argue over it. You don't need to protect it. You don't need to defend it. But we need to read it and believe it and obey it. There's no other way that we can make right decisions in life, other than a wild gamble, of course, without knowing what God has to say about it. And the Bible is where we find out what God says. Now, if I go the way of the world, that does not change what the Bible says. It's right there in black and white. You cannot prove God wrong. All you can do is prove him right. And we're foolish to have a Bible that will guide us and then say, well, I just don't know about that. When God tells us all the time how to live and we just ignore it and we pass up the counsel of a sovereign God. It's kind of like God says, ye shall be witnesses unto me in all the world. You say, oh, but I haven't heard a voice. Well, you don't need a voice when you have a verse. God says that he'll guide us with his counsel. I want to go back to Proverbs, the first chapter. Begin down in verse 24. Here's what God says. Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you set it not all my counsel. Now what did he say? I'll guide you with my counsel. But he said, you set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So what's God going to do? I also will laugh at your calamity. Can you imagine that? I want to preach a sermon sometimes on God's laughter. Laughter in heaven. That ought to be good. God laughs at your calamity. He told you what to do. You didn't do it. You went contrary to his word. And you got in trouble. And here you're standing knee-deep in trouble, and God is laughing at you. God said, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Wow. When God calls, when we call upon God and he doesn't answer, they will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Better hold on to that 33rd verse there. That's a precious verse. Now there's yet a third way that God guides us. And that's found in Psalm 78. In the context of this, we have the children of Israel, he's talking about them, in the wilderness where they wandered for 40 years. And there in the wilderness, the children of Israel ask in verse 19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see, they'd run out of groceries. And you've got maybe a couple of million people out here in that desert. No food to eat. And they're asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And that question in verse 19 is not answered until you get all the way down to the end of verse 72, where it's answered. And he says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. And here's where we get back on our track, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So we've got him guiding us with his eye, he's guiding us with his counsel, and now he's guiding us with his hands. Children of Israel in the wilderness, they had no water. Moses, take your rod and smite that rock. Moses smote the rock, and God gave them water out of the rock. The people said, we're hungry. God said, in the morning, open your tent flap and look outside, and there was manna all over the top of the ground. And they ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, when the sun goes down and night comes, it's going to be dark out here. God said, I'll give you light. And when they needed light, that big cloud that overshadowed them during the day became a pillar of fire by night. And the glory of God gave them light. When they didn't have any new clothes, God caused their clothes not to wear out. You know, I look at that, and here's one of those wonder questions in my mind again. What about those boys, you know, growing up? You got some pants out here. Did you ever wear your big brother's pants when you were growing up? You grow into them, don't you? All right. Well, this old boy out here, I mean, he grows. He gets about 13 or 14, you know. He springs up like a weed. And his long pants become short. And how about this guy that gets out here, Don, and eats too much manna, you know? Man, that sure is good. I think I'll have another helping. He eats a couple, a double helping of it, because they could eat all they wanted, you know. And the first thing you know, his pants begin to get a little tight around his waist. They went 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Shoes the same way. Can you imagine wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years? No new shoes. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He sure can. You bet he can. Now, you get over to the book of Acts, you read about the Christians in Jerusalem. They were persecuted, and they were scattered. And those who were scattered abroad during that great persecution went everywhere preaching the word. But how would you like to be driven out of your home and away from your city? What would you do? Just go out preaching the word? That's what they did. The answer is in Acts 11, verse 21. Said the hand of the Lord was with them. What did he say? They'll be guided by the skillfulness of his hands. God was guiding them as they went out. He guided them. He was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I think of John the Baptist. Here comes Jesus to be baptized of John. John points to Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And God points his finger down from heaven at him and said, behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. and the finger of the nail-scarred hand of our Lord Jesus Christ points to your Bible. And he says, this is my word. Read it. Study it. Believe it. Obey it. Follow its teachings. Ezra wrote in chapter 8 and verse 22. He said, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good that seek him. The guiding hand of God is upon them for good to them that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Now that's the same hand that Jesus spoke about in John 10:29, when he said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in the hands of God, and he guides our lives by the skillfulness of his hands. And he wants to guide us today by his eye, by his counsel, by his hand. God help us not to reject God's offer of guidance. Because if we do, we're going to be out there stumbling around in the darkness of uncertainty, trying to make it on our own. And you just can't do that. We'll have to do like Peter says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you in due time. This might not be the time, but in due time, God will exalt you. God leads, God guides, and he directs our lives. He doesn't put us out here in an unknown place, a place that we're unfamiliar with. We don't know the streets or the roads. I was talking to Brother Danny this morning, and we were discussing Japan and what's going on over there. And Japan doesn't have names on their streets over there. Can you imagine finding your way around over there? They don't have names on their streets. And he says, you get over there and you find out where to go. You turn around this corner, and then you turn around this corner and make a left turn down here, and you learn where you're going. But you don't have a street name. And he says, he was talking about one day that he was on his way back to where he was staying, and during the day they had torn a house down that was on the corner. And when he came to that corner there, that landmark was not there. And he didn't know where to go. The landmark was gone. But God guides and he directs. He's wonderful.